Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here together this morning and to look into the face of God and see what he has for us. This morning, for a message, I'd like to look at trusting God for a while this morning. And the reason, one of the things that brought me to this subject this morning was a friend of mine, watching him live his life. Not a real close friend, but an acquaintance, someone I talk to a couple times a year, and watch him work hard to make a living, to raise a family with a number of children, and work hard to build a business, and the church calls, and he uproots, and he moves somewhere else. Kept some of the same clients, some of the same vendors, but worked hard at buying resources and turning it into product that other people wanted. And of course, with moving to a different place, you start with a new facility and you put a lot of time and money and effort into something like that, take on more debt. And along the way, you trust God and you believe that what you're doing is the right thing. And then one time, you find a lump under your arm. And after a while, I mean, think, what's going on here? And after a while, you go to the doctor and you find out it's cancer. You have a lot of responsibilities. If only you had known this was going to come up a few years ago, how differently you probably would have lived a few years of your life. But you didn't know, and so you did what you thought God wanted you to do at the time. You wouldn't have, I don't know what all I would do different today if I knew that my expiration date was only a few years from now. But those are things that we don't know. But it caused me to do a lot of thinking because, well, can you trust God? Can you trust God that he knows what he's doing? Have you ever thought about the fact that something like this could happen to me? Well, probably you have. Most of us that are human have thought about the fact that suddenly something like this could happen to us. We fret and we can worry about it. You can worry yourself sick over it. Well, maybe that's not your worry. Maybe your worries are all financial, that suddenly something will happen to you and you'll be gone. And you'll leave your debt to somebody else. Or maybe the business you work so hard to build, things won't turn out. Or maybe there'll be an accident. Or maybe, you know, something will happen and all this will be taken from you. You'll be left with bills that you cannot pay. And those worries can be very real. And I know how it is. There's worries that I had in my past that I fretted over a lot, lost sleep over. And then after a while, you realize that, you know, you weren't thinking about those things so much anymore. You got busy with responsibilities, got busy with life. And then maybe something happened to a friend or somebody else, and those worries come flooding back again. How do we deal with these things? I remember that in our early married years, I worried a lot more about health, whether something was wrong with me or my wife. Worried a lot more about money and how I was going to pay the bills, things like that, then probably that I worry now. Maybe I'm just too busy to have time to worry. I don't know. But I think part of it was the, you know, suddenly being responsible for yourself and for somebody else that you loved, being responsible. And then just this thing of, if you catch something soon enough, it's not nearly as bad as if you wait till it's too late to do anything about it. You know what I mean? So you keep thinking, well, maybe I should be seeing something that's happening in my life today, and I should be doing something about it so it's not nearly so bad as if you ignore it for a few years and then it's too late to change. I remember a time when I told my wife, no more reading the medical book. You realize, and you start looking in a medical book, how many you have serious diseases, like, say, something like cancer or spinal meningitis or some of these blood diseases and stuff. Start reading the symptoms. You probably have some of those symptoms right now. And you can start imagining all kinds of things that may happen to yourself. Well, where is God? Where is God? And what is he doing? Does he know what he's doing? Those are questions that we ask ourselves during these times. And I don't plan to be able to cover this whole subject this morning. As I got towards the end of it, I realized that I really only got the first half of what I wanted to share this morning covered, and it's probably plenty for this morning. So maybe we'll have to take this up again another Sunday. Well, it goes without saying, but worry is detrimental to our mental health. There's a lot of ways to mental instability, a lot of ways to get there, and worry is a good way to get there. We'll get you there pretty quick. Make us unsteady mentally. Is it safe to trust God? Some of these questions I was thinking about. Is it safe to trust God? Or will he turn and stab you in the back? That's how some people feel. That's what God has done to them. How far should we trust God? How far should we take it? And I was asking my wife these questions, and she said, is it safe to not trust God? Is it safe not to trust God? So I like to think about these questions this morning. Because one of these days, we're all going to expire. I was down at the mailbox the other day, and neighbor man pulled in at the same time. I don't know where all he goes and what all he does, but he has a really good way at accumulating all kinds of stuff, piles of stuff, and that's fine. That's what he wants to do. But he's 75, so he probably was through a lot more hard times than I was. See the benefits of it. But he had a bunch of food in the back of his truck, a whole bunch of food, and he starts handing me stuff. I start looking at the dates. Most of them were that day or the next day. He got them somewhere. Someone gave it to him. But I thought about the fact that there was a date stamped on all those packages, and some of them were February 4, some of them were January 15, or whenever. Some of it we thought, well, we could probably eat a little bit of this. The mango slices were a little zippy, so they were probably over the hill. Had to throw those out to the goats. But they all had dates stamped on them, and each one of us here this morning has a date stamped on us. We're going to expire. We're going to expire, every one of us. In a sense, it's just your body that's going to expire. It's just your body that's going to go away. We don't know when it is. But our soul lives on. The body of flesh will fail. Our soul lives on. And to whom or what are we entrusting our eternal soul? So I'd like us to worry a little less about our flesh this morning and worry a little more about our soul. Well, I like, first of all, to look at a number of tangible things that we put our faith and trust in that we probably should not. False trust that we can put our faith and trust in. Go to Psalm 52. Psalm 52 and verse 1. Why boastest thou self in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that hath made not God his strength, but trusteth in the abundance of his riches and strengtheneth himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I will trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Here in this psalm, is a false trust, a false place that we put our trust. In verse 7, this man had not made God his strength, but he trusted in the abundance of riches. And the psalm here talks about the different things that he does because he's trusting in the abundance of riches to get him through. And personally, that it is a desire in each one of us, in any one of a number of different resources that we have. A lot of times we think of it materially, but we try to build up and accumulate so that when a tough time comes, we have enough to see us through. So that happens to us personally. I think it also can happen to us as a group, that we can want to build up and grow and grow and grow and make a bigger building and a bigger facility and become rich in resources here so that we have enough to go around to carry through. And I think that after the work started in Cumberland and they moved out of here, you know, you think, well, how much of that should you do? How quick should you do something like that? How much do we trust in ourselves as an assembly? How much do we trust in the conference that we were part of to bail us out if we have a need that's greater than we can handle? Or are we trusting in God? Proverbs 11, verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Too often we think that money will fix our problems, whether it's physically or spiritually. Too many times we have a problem, let's throw some money at it, see if it fixes it. That's a problem, throwing money. Sometimes it takes money to fix a problem. But first of all, it takes seeking the face of God, finding out where God wants us to go. We need to trust God, not the strength of riches. If you're taking notes this morning, the first one is the strength of riches for false trusts. Now turn with me over to Psalm 146. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His bread goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raised them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Here's another psalm where he's talking about contrasting, putting our trust in God versus putting our trust in something else. And verse 3 and 4 is where the danger that I see. Verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. And that very day his thoughts perish. One of the places that we put a false trust in is the strength of men. We look to the doctor to fix my problem. The doctor fixes my problem. And doctors are helpful. Don't want to downplay what they can do. But we must realize it is in God's hands where our health is. And God uses the doctor sometime to preserve our health. Maybe if you take the right herbs or take enough herbs, you will live longer and better. Now, I'm not going to say there's something completely wrong with herbs, but let's not put our trust in herbs. Our trust is in God. or many other products that you can take. And that's innumerable, the number that are out there of things that you can take that will make you, just 1,000 times better if you would only take this product. Well, I know you're going to make somebody else's life better if you keep buying their product. But let's not put our trust in products. Let's put our trust in God. You can get to the point where it's almost your salvation. You're more excited about this product that I'm taking than I am about what God has done for me. Find it easier to witness about the product that I like to sell rather than the God that sustains me. Where is the strength of men? Where else do we find this? Sometimes we find the strength of men. The statement is, well, let's go ask the preacher. Or you go ask your preacher. Well, that can be just the strength of men. The preacher is only so good. He's only as good as how much he gets his answers from God. We need to trust someone more than the preacher. We need to trust God. There's a lot of folks around us living in sin because the preacher said that it was okay. Let's not put all our trust in men. Let's put it in the Word of God. Sometimes we trust the church that we're a part of to keep us from sin. If that's why you're here this morning, don't just put your faith and trust in your church or in your conference or in going to church, and that's going to keep you from sin. It's much more than that. If we're trusting in the strength of men, it won't be enough. He says here that his breath goeth forth and he returneth to the earth. So if you're trusting in, say, United States Army to keep you safe, that United States Army is only so good. As soon as they don't have their breath anymore, they're not worth anything. Think about that. No longer there to help. They're only as good as what their breath is, and your breath doesn't last very long. As soon as you quit breathing, you die. Isaiah 2, verse 22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? It's just that you show how weak men are. Let's put our faith and trust in God. Where else do we put false trust? Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 28. Read a verse here. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The strength of myself. It's another place where I put my trust in myself for the third point. And we do a lot of thinking about ourselves. And too often we can put our trust there. We do this self-evaluation, and I think we should, but it's only so good. But we look at ourselves, and we try to decide where we are. You know, if you evaluate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, most people, almost everybody puts themselves above 5, and a lot of people put yourself up near the top, maybe a number 7. That's just what we do. Well, you know, if you evaluated a group of something, to have that scale, there has to be some at all numbers. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Sometimes we trust our own individualistic thinking, our own human reasoning, and this is what we trust in. And so we tell ourselves what we want to hear about ourselves, and that makes us good enough for what we want to be. Or maybe we trust in our works and these things that we do. And certainly if I do this and this and this, I must not be so bad. I must be good. Well, if those things are the things that the Word of God is asking you to do, you can take confidence in that. If you're lining yourself up to the Word of God. But I think so many times when we line ourselves up to the Word of God, we realize how short we really come. And it causes us to surrender, which is part of the second part of the message. And that's where we go. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but Sometimes we submit ourselves to a body of dedicated students of the Word. And I think we should, and it's right. But maybe we do it at the expense of studying the Word ourselves. And then that's not good. It's not good enough. Sometimes we look to ourselves, we strengthen ourselves by evaluating how much health we really have and how good we are. Just thinking back to what we started out with, first of all, here, and probably we should go to the Sermon on the Mount when we talk about worry and talk about health. But sometimes we trust in our own physical strength and our ability to continue on, and we think that for many days, I will be fine, I will be good. I joked with the family the other week that I'd probably live to be 70, as I felt half dead when I got out of bed the morning I turned 35. But we can trust in those things. We can trust in how good we are, how good we feel. Turn to Isaiah chapter 31 for number 4. Isaiah 31 and verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that is hoping shall fall, and they shall all fail together. Sometimes we look to the strength of the systems of the world. We look to those systems to carry us through. There's been a lot of social programs that have been started in the United States in the last 100 years. Too many of them were started because the church and Christians weren't doing their job. But programs to take care of old people, programs to take care of sick, all these things that were started, we need to choose not to trust in those things. We learn to save and set aside. We don't expect the government to give us a pension when we're old. We're going to care for each other's needs. We're not looking to a government program to pay our bills, our medical bills, or to give us food stamps or something like that. Let's not start to trust and take part in the world's systems for our daily needs, for our health needs, or for future retirement. Let's not trust in the media. There's a lot of people crying today that you shouldn't trust them. But you heard the quote. I read it in the newspaper, so it's got to be true. Too often we think if we read it online, it's probably true. Well, somebody put it there. How do you know if it's true? Well, it could easily not be true. We need to remember that just because, well, Google can be wrong. Google is wrong on many things. Let's not trust Google. Let's trust the Word of God. And let's not underestimate the power of authors to change our thinking. And I think reading books is a good thing. And I probably don't do nearly as much as I should. But as I've also watched people be led astray because of the power of an author. And we need to remember that books are not the Bible. It's only a book. It's somebody else's thoughts. Even if it's somebody commenting on the Bible, a commentary is still a commentary. It is not the Bible. Let's be careful with them. I've seen parents that were led astray on child training concepts because of a convincing book. It had to be a new way. It had to be the way. But it didn't cause them to take issue with the child's will, like Proverbs teaches. There's many other examples that we could have. That's not strength. That's not trust in the strength of the systems of the world. Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47 and verse 10. He's talking about Babylon here, and he's referring to them as a virgin, and he's talking about the ways that they expose themselves, pollute themselves, and of course the judgment that's coming for it. But right in the middle of it, he talks about how this person or this country reasons this away. And it's another strength that we can find, or that we can trust in, that we shouldn't be trusting in. But verse 10, "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and none else besides me." There's probably a couple of things here that this person is trusting in. But the one that I like to lift out, because we've talked about some of the other ones already, is the thought that none seeth me. Sometimes we trust in secrecy. We can trust in secrecy. And that comes in a couple different ways. Sometimes it's denial. And I tell myself it isn't that way. And I tell myself, I lie about it to myself for long enough that after a while I believe myself. And I trust in my lie. Let's be careful. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Secondly, another way that we trust in secrecy is in hypocrisy. We think that if no one knows about it, then it probably isn't there. And it probably doesn't matter. We need to trust the truth. Let's not deny the existence of something, whether it's good or bad. But let's line it up with the truth, see what it is, see what it needs, and deal with it that way. So if there's a need in my life, it may be robbing me of the rest in God, the faith and trust that I can find in God. If there's that need in my life, let's not keep denying that it's there, but let's bring it to God and bring it to our brother when needed. Bring it to the light and expose it. Talks about that a lot in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, walking in the light, dwelling in the light, bringing things to the light. That's how we can strengthen him. We're all human. We're all going to understand each other. Amos chapter 6. A little harder to find. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Amos 6, verse 1. "Woe to them that are in ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of God came." And there's probably more we could read there, but woe to them that are in ease in Zion. Sometimes we trust in the strength of the good times. We trust in the good times physically, and we say there's probably many more good years to come. We begin to feel like it will carry us through. It's been good so long. It's going to have to be good for a long time yet. And we build up equity, and we expect this equity to carry us through. And we can fall into that as well spiritually. It said, "The him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." And we can feel very strong, very good spiritually. And we can have a good church life, and everyone gets along. We start an outreach and we send folks to foreign missions. We become proud of ourselves. I think we should feel blessed that God has asked us to do these things and we've been able to do them. But let's not be proud and feel like we've done this better than other people. And they should look to us. Too many times we look to strengthen it and keep it this way. But let's continue to surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and humility, because that's what gets us here. And that's what will get us to the next place that God wants us. The good times do not promise good times. It's our relationship with Christ and our obedience to Christ that will carry us into more good times. Well, what is trust? Trust is a belief that someone or something is reliable, good, honest, and effective. It's a belief that something is reliable, it's good, it's honest, and it's effective. And I think these six things that I brought up here this morning, if you start looking at them, you realize that money, it's not always reliable. It doesn't always get us what we want. It's not always effective. People are only so good. They're still people. Programs, rules, myself, the darkness, the good times, it all has drawbacks. They're only so good. Well, if you're overly fearful this morning, or overly confident, or maybe overly ignorant of where you're at in life, I'd like to look at three steps to trusting more in God. And trust is like a muscle. Read that somewhere. The more you exercise it, the more it strengthens, the more you can do. Here are a few exercises that we can do. First of all, let's surrender ourselves and all of our troubles to God. We have to take what we have to God. And that can be really hard to do because we are carnal. And we don't want to give up our strength that we have. And we're not always sure we want the answer that God has for us. But if we want to trust God more in our lives, we have to take ourselves, surrender ourselves, and surrender our troubles to Him. When we realize that God is in control of all our circumstances, whatever they may be, and we can move from worry to worship. We don't have to worry, but we can worship God in it. Let God be the master of your life, of everything in your life, and we stop trying to do it on our own strength. In John chapter 9, verse 1, it's a story where Jesus was walking down the road, and there was a blind man sitting by the way, and the disciples said, they asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So who sinned? Was it this blind man or was it his parents? And Jesus said, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him." We wonder sometimes why we face hard things. We face hard things so that God can be glorified. And there's just there's a huge range of hard things that we must face. After all, we all have a terminal illness. Every one of us that's here. We all have an expiration date. It's nothing to fear. And it's all to the glory of God. Or it can be. All of this can be to the glory of God. It's what God has. And maybe God's going to choose to heal the individual I was talking about earlier. Or maybe He's going to use that to bring a number of people to a crossroads. I don't know. But let's trust God, that He knows what He's doing, and He is in control of everything, and that He will bring it to His glory. Another step to trusting more in God is to replace the negative thoughts in our minds with positive thoughts. Not just talking about the power of positive thinking. What I'm saying this morning is that our thoughts are very strong, very powerful. And if we choose to dwell on the things of myself, of my false trusts that we were talking about, if that's what we're going to dwell on, it will take us down. But we can choose to dwell on God. And one of the ways we do that is by memorizing Scripture and by reading our Bibles daily or often. So when you read the Scripture, you come across verses like this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Say that to yourself throughout the day when you start facing trouble. God knows my path. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm going to trust him. Keep repeating this to yourself throughout the day. It's going to do something for our trust in him. And the third thing that I have for building trust in God is praying to God and asking for patience. Telling him how we feel. Telling him the trouble that we have. And asking him for the strength that we need. And asking him to give us patience in it. To work through the trial that he has allowed us to be in. God's never wrong. God's never wrong. God's never late. He's always on time. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. God hasn't appointed us to wrath. God isn't mean to his children. This is not God's wrath. This is God's love working in our lives. He says, whether wake or sleep, we're going to live with him. We can live with him in this body. And when we go on, we can live with him on the other side. Whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. God's way is perfect. Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Then don't you be afraid what man can do. It's okay to live in the city. God's still in control. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26, verse 4. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read some verses here. Here's Paul speaking to the Corinthians. If you find yourself in trouble, here's a good passage to read. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Notice how he's addressing God. And Paul went through a lot of hard times. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we also are comforted of God. God comforts us. And as we find this comfort in God, we can share this comfort to others. For as the sufferings of Christ abide in us, abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The more we suffer, the more we can realize his goodness. Seems like a paradox. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He says we, so I guess he's including himself. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And I found that passage really encouraging for trust. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, as we pause in your presence, we thank you again this morning for smiling upon us in so many ways. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this assembly this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a day of rest. We can come in here and worship together and be built up, strengthened. Thank you, Lord, for giving us hope, knowing that whether we are awake or whether we sleep, we can be in you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with many good things. Father, we just pray again this morning that we could be more trusting of your goodness. We could be more trusting of your knowledge, of your will. We pray that you would strengthen our unbelief. Help us to believe more. Father, we don't know what all you will ask of us or why you will ask what you will of us. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us to surrender our lives into your hand and into your care. Because we know that we can trust you. We see how you have moved through many people in the past. We thank you for the recorded word. We thank you for how you have worked with our parents and grandparents. I pray, Lord, that you would help us today to choose truth, to choose to walk in the light, to choose to trust you with what you have given us. Go with us, Lord, and make us a blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen.